Hey now, welcome to the Dirty Side of the Track, America's leading Formula One podcast. I'm Brian, that's Rob. The news never stops. The F1 machine is turned up to 11 before the season starts. Welcome, everybody. How are you, Rob?
I'm good. And it's crazy, isn't it? We're there like always panicking about off season. There won't be anything to cover. And we're like waiting to practice to come around. Testing to come around. It hasn't stopped giving us stuff to talk about. I mean, last week we did a full episode just on two news stories of Hamilton and Andretti. And it just keeps coming. It's insane.
I mean, so far, right? And I may have this wrong. Gunther leaves Haas. Lando's contract, Charles' contract extensions. You already said Andretti. Last week we talked about it. Hamilton to Ferrari in 25. Obviously, that leaves a Mercedes seat. We'll talk a little bit about Horner very little today. The sprint weekend, Sauber. I mean, it reveals the car launches, deliveries. Oh, my.
So before we get into that, because that will be the brunt of today's show, what we're going to do is something a little self-indulgent, and we really don't care. So we've got 30 minutes-ish probably today of talking about news and social and rounding up everything we've seen this week. And that'll be that. There is no content this week, because what we're also going to do is repackage our one-year anniversary of when this pokey little pod met none other than Valtteri Bottas. So are we going to dine out on that again? Of course we are, because it doesn't happen to bozos like us very often. So you'll get two drops probably this week of new episodes. There'll be this episode will drop, and then we're going to package the Valtteri one by itself so that it won't age. Because at the moment, if you go back and dig through it, you have to listen to 15 minutes of me and Brian talking about news and social from a year ago. So we're going to dine out on Valtteri, and we're going to republish that one for the year anniversary. So, yeah.
So we're recording this on Saturday, February 10th. I say that because the news changes, but also because February 2nd, is a day called Groundhog Day. So is it appropriate that 8 days later we're rerunning the Valtteri episode like Groundhog Day again?
Can you imagine if every day we woke up it was the Valtteri interview day and then we had to interview him?
And you're listening to the Dirty Side.
Just every day we played this every...
Do you reckon we'd ever get bored of interviewing him if you're like, it was like, oh, interviewing Valtteri again today?
We'd have to change the name of our pod to the Valtteri Interview Pod, and just that's all that came out.
Anyway, let's jump into the news and social that will be this episode. So let's give this some little bit of airtime, but not a lot, being as we don't really not know what's going on, and it's not the nicest of stories. But
no, it isn't.
Allegations flying around about Horner. Will he, won't he stay? Will he be forced to resign? We're all going to be finding out on Friday. Kel surprise. It didn't come out with an adjudication. And it, now, not only was it not closed out on Friday, now they're not even thinking that the investigation will be done before the season starts. So I say we just move on from that, Brian, and it is what it is.
Agreed. If someone's been aggrieved, I hope they find justice. If nothing's nothing, then I hope it goes away. Whatever. You know, we all hope it just turns out to be what it is and we move on. If there's a victim here, I just hope they get the justice they deserve. And if there isn't, I hope this, whomever made this stuff up, goes away too. So moving on, car reveals. Okay, so there's some alignment in the Dirty Side offices on this and some very large, you know, misalignment on the Dirty Side offices on this. We'll start with Williams, because that was the first one since we recorded. We obviously kick Sauber and Williams happened on the 5th. We'd already talked about Haas. The Williams reveal, the battery's still there, right? They still have that battery on the air scoop in the back. The race suits are sweet. I did not love it. It felt a lot like last year and not much of a, quote, improvement, if you will. What did you think, Rob?
No, I'd agree. It laid the scene of what we're going to see coming from some of the others. There was a lot of exposed carbon with some blue. They got rid of what I like. I like the W logo that was embedded into the air cover last year, and that seems to have gone now, or if it is still there, they've hidden it really, really well. So it wasn't a banger. It's not the worst, you know, it's just sort of sitting in the middle of the pack, which is maybe where Williams will be this year.
Hopefully. I hope they are in the middle of the pack. Exactly. I hope they are too. The funniest part was they brought in Komatsu as a sponsor, and Io Komatsu is the name of the new Haas team principal.
Yes.
So on Twitter, they took this to town, and Haas goes, "Why is the name of our team principal on the side of your car?" And Williams responded and back and forth, and it was great. So that was, for me, the highlight of a rather meh car launch.
Yeah, and then this one now for me was almost a bit of a reversey from the Williams when we look at state. Whereas the Williams race suits looked sweet and the car was a bit, the state suits, Paul, if you've got to wear merch that looks like that when you stand alongside Valtteri, I feel sorry for you. And Valtteri just looks like he's kind of looks like Luigi or something, or as we'll come up with in a minute, there's another meme that did the rounds. But the suits are horrendous. I'm sorry, but they are. The car, I'm a little excited. I think it looks mean. The mean green machine, lots of exposed black carbon again, but actually quite a lot of green paint. And while I'm just tempering my excitement because I think it's one of these cars that looks amazing under studio lighting. So until we maybe see it go around a track, I'm not quite sure I'll love it as much, but it was looking pretty good. What do you think?
Here's where we'll have a little disagreement. I really give them full credit for going for it. Like, I love it. I love the design and they went for it. I don't love it though, personally. Like, it's not my favorite. I agree it looked good under the studio lights. I'm very nervous what that neon green will look like in the sun as it goes around the track.
It could for me go down 2 points. And right now it's kind of hovering at around 7, 7.5.
Okay, so for me it's more like 6-ish.
Okay, but it has potential to get down to like a 4 if
correct.
It looks awful.
I don't think it goes up a ton. I think it could go down a bit. But again, I give them a lot of credit for going for it. I mean, like, you know, that's what we want. It just didn't, for me, it didn't scratch the
right
itch.
And I like the little Sauber logo on the front.
Right above the green
of
the K for the kick, right above there. We'll talk more about them in a minute, but back to the car launches. Alpine was next. Alpine. They went to town with the exposed carbon. They did obviously have the BWT, the blue, and the, you know, the Alpine blue, and then the blue from BWT and the pink. The suits were cool, agreed. The livery, I would agree. I think Rob, we're in agreement from what we said earlier this week on Discord. Meh. And the note I'd have before I let you kind of go in on this one is Formula One on Reddit, someone did a removing the painted areas of the car year after year after year, and you just see more and more exposed black carbon. And basically, they'd painted it in 22. There was a little less paint in 23, and there's like very little paint in 24. And I know it saves weight. I'm not dumb, but it, you know, you got to look at the darn thing too. And so I give this a full meh, and this is below Sauber for me. This one's, you know, 5.5, kind of just above average by a barrel.
Yeah, this is probably at the moment, and again, I'm going to reserve judgment on making my final view as to whether I was right or wrong on my livery predictions until I've seen them all go around track.
That's fair.
But I said Haas was going to be my worst. I think Alpine at the moment is falling below it.
I agree.
It's not great. And this is, I know where the biggest disagreement comes. Oh my gosh, talk about, for me and a few people on Twitter, talk about snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. So Toro Rosso come out with what I think is an amazing color scheme. I really like the blue, the white, the red. It all kind of seamlessly goes together, and it's just, she's such a nice looking car with lots of paint. They've obviously really think they've got performance in the car. They don't need to worry about weight because they've just basically painted the whole thing, which for me is absolutely hats off to them. Then, because they've got a million sponsors, and Cash App want to remind everybody that they're sponsoring them, Cash App went, yeah, we want our logo on the car 50,000 times. We don't care where you put it. Put it places where it doesn't even work, and it causes people like Rob with OCD to have issues, especially the front wing, where because it's not symmetrical, as you look at it head on, the left-hand side fits beautifully onto the lower element of the front wing. The other side, it doesn't, because the Cash App square traverses across two elements of the wing, and the rear wing looks terrible as well. And they still suffer from that horrible orange little red square that we gave AlphaTauri grief for last year. Like, find somewhere else to put it where it doesn't look so stupidly stuck on at the last minute. And the last part of the rant, before you tell me why you love this so much, is the bull. The bull on the back of the AlphaTauri was amazing, and they made the kind of the whole emphasis of the bull really, really cool. This year, it looks like an afterthought, and when you look at it side on, it's sort of half squidged, and it's lost its prominence. Hats off for a nod to Toro Rosso. Love it. Hats off to the colour scheme. Oh my gosh, did you screw the pooch with the sticker layout, or whatever you want to call them, decals, or whatever they are. So go on, tell me why you love it, Brian.
Well, first of all, I saw this, and this is exactly how I felt. I love it. What do you not love? I mean, you had your moment. Keep your grunts and groans to yourself on that side of the pod before I mute you. Okay. Agree with you. The color scheme is, and painting and color and the Toro Rosso tribute were totally in alignment. I would like it if the visa weren't quite so not straight. It's the diagonal going up the side pod. That's the only part I got a problem with.
Or make it smaller so it doesn't wrap around. Yeah.
Make it smaller and then horizontal. And so the V and the A kind of roll off, but make it horizontal. Okay. But otherwise, I love it. I love the fact they painted it. I don't think the bull is as squidgy as you say. Look in the notes. I have a V-carb versus Toro Rosso comparison. I think it's pretty close. Honda plays a prominent role as it did before in the same way the Honda, the red, it's just, oh man, I think it's great. Chef's kiss. Now, a few things I'll admit. I do have some mild color blindness, and blues and reds are in the spectrum of colors I struggle with. So for I'm just being honest, your doctor's diagnosed you with the problem, but it turns out I got my degree to, you know, at the back of a matchbook. Two, what are we calling them? We cannot call them V-carb. Can we stick to Toro Rosso now because of the colors?
Yeah, because of the colors. I'm going to call them that, yeah.
Or is it Hugo Rosso, which someone had on the internet, which I thought was funny. Crash app. Every time they crash this Visa crash app. And then the things that I love, just some other things as I'm sitting here thinking and reflecting. Do you remember when it was Toro Rosso and Brandon Hartley drove for them, the Kiwi? And now we have another blonde Kiwi and Liam Lawson as a reserve driver. The parallels. And then you and Lizzie beating me up on Twitter. Lizzie, I know you're listening. Thanks for listening. This was
not just me and Lizzie,
so
to be fair. Most people with eyes didn't like the layout of the stickers. Like, look at the rear wing as well. There's two more I forgot, right? Which was while I'm on my little rant. You've put the Toro Rosso and the Red Bull side by side. Look how you can see all the legs of the bull on the Toro Rosso, and you can see the full.
But the car
bull
was taller then.
Okay, go to last year's AlphaTauri. And see how you could see the bull. Okay, so that's that one. Look at the rear wing, where they've chosen to use a very thin vertical set of sponsorship, which means it looks ridiculous because it looks like they cropped it too small. And now everything's in one little tiny strip on the back wing, whereas you look at a lot of other teams, they've chosen larger logos. What I see and done, they haven't worried about where they've put anything. Like, if they'd have put the Oran logo maybe on the rear wing, where it would have been square and fit the
and
rear
red
wing.
Would have been pretty cool.
And red, exactly. If they'd have put the Cash App in maybe, I don't know, just like two places rather than like, look at the nose. When you see the head on nose shot, they've got it on there twice. Wow. Just in case. Now, maybe this will be, I will actually love this more when I see it going round, because when they're moving, you can't
you
really focus
the
on,
small,
the,
exactly.
on the stickers as much. So this one actually might be one of my favorite ones to see on track. So again, I'm going to hold judgment on it. But right now, I have not held judgment.
I love it. Oh. And the last thing on this car, though, and we know these are livery launches, not car launches. However, there are some internet sleuthers, and please, God, let them be right. They noticed that this is much closer, and there was a whole thing, and it got cut off in the notes I shared, Rob, but there was a whole diatribe where they basically said, here's AlphaTauri 2023, here's Red Bull 2023, and here's Toro Rosso 2024. And the 24 Rosso looks a lot like the 23 Red Bull, not the 23 AlphaTauri. Pull rod front suspension, thinner rod there, better airflow. And
you're
going to
pretend you know what those two things mean?
Well, it's the opposite of push rod.
I see all these things, and I see like Dr. Robson people are like jumping on, it's push rod, not pull, or the other way around, whatever it is. And I need aerodynamics for dummies, because I see those statements come out, and I don't know whether to get excited or not.
Rob,
because
come on, you don't know the difference between push and pull. We're going to move on from that story, though. Talk about the sprint format change.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Right. You are down on sprints. I am as well to some degree, but I liked last year's more. I liked it being at least sprint Saturday as it was, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't need to worry about anything else but sprinting on a Saturday. And they've decided to mess with it again.
Again.
Not to make it its own sprint championship, like I think would actually make it better, but now to kind of mix it around. So now you'll have free practice and sprint qualifying on Friday. Sprint will be the first action on Saturday, and qualifying for the main Grand Prix will be Saturday afternoon. My big problem with this whole reorg is Saturday, because who the hell wants to do any racing in the sprint race and risk smashing their car up and not being able to qualify for the main event?
It makes even higher jeopardy.
Well, and so because it makes it higher jeopardy,
no one's gonna race.
Now you're going to see a procession and no one's even going to go for it. Like, oh, is there a gap there? Is there enough to get three cars through? No, I'm going to wait until there's a gap to get four cars through, because I don't want to. I think the sprints are going to be painfully boring this year, because no one wants to miss out on qualifying.
You're 100% right. You've taken all of the risk reward trade-off away. It's just there's no reward for the risk you'd put on for the Grand Prix because you have to qualify next. There's no overnight. There's no working through to change anything. You got like an hour. What are you going to change? A wing? A spoiler? Like what? You got no time to fix anything. I mean, you duct tape a side pod on at best. I mean, like there's nothing. You can't take any risk. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll be looking for, just so that if everyone's aware, there's going to be six of them this year. So we'll have China, Miami, Austria, US Grand Prix in Austin, Brazil and Qatar will be where we were looking forward to cars trying to not crash because they want to qualify.
I love Interlagos, as do you. I like COTA. I like Austria. I think we could have a good sprint there. Those three. I know I've watched China, but it's been so long. Let me watch some real action before I make a decision. You know I'm down on Miami. Yep. I'm not looking forward to a sprint weekend in Miami. I mean, not like we'll be there, but, you know, just watching it. And then Qatar is what it is, so we'll see.
Yeah, so that's kind of cars and sprint format out the way. Last few things here are kind of some contract updates. So, and they're all, I think they're all good.
Agreed.
First off, we had Albon.
Tell a rumor at the end, which I added recently, which you may not have seen.
Oh, okay. So Albon's got a new contract announced through 25. So any kind of rumors about him going and taking the vacant Mercedes seat next year is not going to happen. So it's the end of 25 he's got the contract through to. But immediately now there's already stories flying around that he's already been pre-offered the Red Bull seat in 26 for the new regs. So I think that could just be the rumor mill in overdrive.
Could be.
But this one made me massively happy. Big grin.
I know it did.
Silverstone got renewed for another 10 years, so 2034 at least now. So we were all getting worried last week we got the news that Suzuka was getting extended. So the only other one probably left that we were all getting a bit worried about, are we still waiting on Spa? Did that one get
no? So we are sitting as we sit today. First off, one thing on Silverstone, I'm now officially going. I bought tickets. Unless something happens to my trip, I'll be at FP1. And FP1 only, because I'm not allowed to be at the track too long and have too much fun. We'll have to get in the car and head back to London. But I will be there for FP1. I cannot wait. Take my family, my girls, and my wife. My wife will probably bring magazines. That's the way she does it. And she'll read in the stands while my daughters and I have a blast.
I just pray, Brian, I'm not even going to be like, be funny about this. I pray that we don't get a British summer and FP1's rained out.
I hope so.
I really hope it's a nice sunny day and you get to see FP1.
You know what? I got to take a shot. It's one of those things where if I don't
100%
try,
you've got to. Yeah, you got to.
But speaking of circuits, as Rob mentioned, that means there's no contracts ending in 24 because Silverstone was the last one. You already mentioned the rehire of Suzuka onto the calendar. However, next year we do see a bunch of tracks expiring contracts. China, Imola, Monaco, Spa, Netherlands, Monza, and Mexico all come up in 25, I think the end of 25. So.
Right.
That's a lot. That's what, seven tracks that we have to determine? And that's by far the largest single year of track renewals coming up for a while. In 26, it's Baku, Barcelona, which we know is dropping for Madrid, and COTA. And then we see Singapore, Japan, so on and so forth all the way through. So, we always talk about silly season for drivers, sometimes team principals. I think we're going to see a little bit of a silly season at the end of this year into next for circuits and who gets re-signed and maybe who doesn't, as F1 looks to kind of juggle their calendar. However, that said, Singapore is currently on the calendar through 28, and they were the one I mentioned quickly. This is a rumor and a rumor only. However, it made it to Barron's. So it's a rumor worth at least being in the Barron's conversation. The Singapore government will review the terms of the F1 Grand Prix deal after its former transport minister was charged with corruption. S. Iswaran resigned in January after being charged with 27 offenses in a rare, apparently, in Singapore, top-level graft probe. It has also ensnared, and here's where it gets a little more interesting, hotel tycoon billionaire Ong Beng Seng, who was credited with helping bring the race to Singapore in 2008. So while it's not good that the transport minister who signed the deal is involved in corruption, it's even worse that the person who helped bring the race there is also kind of getting ensnarled in this. The good news is, though, again, it's a rumor. It's like early speculation. I guess it's more than a rumor, but it's early speculation is what it is. There's nothing to suggest as of now that either the F1 contracts or any other contracts were structured to the disadvantage of the government, said the minister in charge of trade relations. So everything should be fine until we hear otherwise. Just wanted to bring it up as something that couldn't quite be ignored, but hopefully turns out to be never mentioned again.
And talking of people being in trouble with governments and the like, Stake might be getting into trouble with the Swiss authorities. We kind of knew that Stake have got this weird relationship where they're not going to be allowed to be on a number of cars where, they're not going to be allowed to be on the car in a number of countries where gambling is illegal. So they'll swap over to the Kick logo. But apparently the one embarrassing one is that it's causing Sauber some headaches for the start of the new season because restrictions on gambling in Switzerland, where Sauber are based, where Stake don't have a license. And apparently the problem is that if you're just seen as being like a sponsor and it being low level advertising, apparently kind of they're okay with it. But what they're saying is as soon as you kind of get into being more than that, so title sponsor being synonymous with the car and the team and all this kind of stuff, it can basically breach into being unauthorized advertising. So I don't know what's going to happen here. They've been throwing around numbers of like €500,000 that they could fine them, but it sounds like that's all it's going to be. Is the Swiss authority going to look into it, say they've overstepped a mark, slap them on the wrists, give them a fine, move on? I don't know there's much else that can really happen here, but yeah. It is just a little bit embarrassing that your title sponsor is causing you problems in the country that you are actually based. I mean,
I don't even know if this is true. This is just us shooting the breeze at this point. Agree, that's embarrassing. Both of us think it's nothing. But there was a lot of like internet sleuthing, and I think it went the wrong direction, that Stake is headquartered officially in the Caribbean because of gambling regs and the way they can do things with taxes, I guess. Again, this is probably fake. But someone found their headquarters on Google Maps, you know, like the Street View, and it's basically a one-room shack in the middle of nowhere in the Caribbean. And so it had to be fake. I'm just saying, if you saw this, let's assume it's fake. If anyone knows it's real, send it on. But I was scrolling through my phone, and I laughed out loud. And I was laying in bed and woke my wife up. I'm like, that can't be where they domiciled it. But it could be, I guess, for paperwork purposes. You never know. Anyway.
Yeah, maybe they just needed a legal address somewhere, so they just spent as little as possible on it because of the cost cap.
Yeah, Stake's participating in the cost cap now. All right, so that's a large news bucket. As we said, it's turned up to 11 right now. And we do want to hit the video vault. Here we go. All right, it's open, and it's been a busy week, so close that bad boy up. Anyway. No video vault. I will say this, a couple things that I do want to highlight in its place. First off, the bracket. Hashtag February F1 fantasticness. Check us out on Twitter. We are ranking the best tracks of all time, or I guess looking for the best track of all time. We've had 16 tracks enter the cage, and only one will emerge victorious. We've gone through the first five battles in the first round. Monaco defeated Coda. Interlagos defeated Imola. Hang on a second. Red Bull lost to Suzuka. Estoril lost to Spa. And Monza beat Sepang. You had some comments, Rob.
I was just going to say, so we're also mirroring the polls on Threads as well, just to kind of see, you know, is it going to be a unanimous decision on across the two platforms? Right out of the gate, we had a difference. So Cota beat Monaco in that first matchup there. But I think every other one has gone the way of the Twitter voters as well. So other than that one, everything kind of is heading in the same direction. I think we've just thrown up
Gilles Villeneuve
today. Gilles Villeneuve, Canada against Nürburgring. So on Threads at the moment, Canada is just edging ahead, and I may have voted for Canada on both the Twitter poll and the Threads poll.
Me too. Was it because we went there together for our first ever?
Oh, I wonder.
And then we will see Baku versus Zandvoort and Melbourne versus Silverstone to close the first round, and then we get into the Fast and Furious semifinals and finals. So please,
well, hang on. I need to. Yeah, I think I'm reading this wrong, but Don't we go into the quarterfinals next?
Yeah. Quarterfinals. Then semifinals,
okay, good. Okay.
Then final.
Yeah. We do. We've gone from 16 down to 8, which I believe is called the quarterfinals. So, yeah, right. You can't read your own bracket. Okay, so...
Correct. This is what happens at bowling every playoffs. I have to hand make the bracket based on who shows up. It always works, but you got to give me a minute.
What I would say was quite striking, some of the landslides we had in round one that I didn't see coming on. Some of them I did more than others, but some of them, they were absolute annihilations on behalf of some tracks. I don't think we're going to see that in the next round. We've got some spicy matchups coming.
So whatever the heck the next round is called, when we get there, I don't think we'll see those landslides. But I agree with Rob. And people on Twitter, Mike F. and some others had some comments. And actually, a lot of folks were commenting, and thank you for doing so. I was a little surprised that Interlagos had about 90%, 89% over Imola, because Imola is not a bad track. That's where I was a little... I love Interlagos.
Bad, but Brazil's going to... Yeah, I was not surprised on that one. I think Mike was kind of saying landslide incoming, and you were like, really? I was like, yep, it is.
Yeah, it is. And then Suzuka only won 70% on Red Bull Ring, because a lot of people do love that Austrian track, as we do. It was fascinating. And Monza, at least on Twitter, barely eked out a 63% over Sepang. A lot of people, Walter included, were big Sepang supporters. And so much appreciated there. And then before we kind of move on to a reminder of what's coming next, just a quick shout out. Follow us on LinkedIn. Rob manages the LinkedIn account. So Rob, be nice to everybody, because a couple of my friends are out there interacting with us right now. So shout out to McGillicuddy, a friend of mine from high school who I haven't talked to in forever, who sent a note. He goes, hey, I didn't know you liked F1. And we traded a boatload of LinkedIn messages, as well as Tom from Diamond got involved in the conversation on the liveries, and Vince with some comments and likes as well. So just great to see people interacting with the LinkedIn account, and I will keep doing that, and Rob will keep doing that. Rob, thank you for social admin.
No, we seem to be, we've got three fronts. Well, actually, we've got more than three. We've got Instagram, Facebook, Threads, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Now, it's nice and easy to be lazy, because everything we post to Instagram auto posts to our Facebook page. So, you know, keeps the overhead down there. Most of it is a copy and paste, I will be honest. You know, we don't have enough to be able to employ a social media intern. But just one kind of quick note was we launched the Buy Me a Coffee thing the other week, and we had something come up, and we put out an advert that coincided with the Alain Prost episode, and that did get a bump. So, you know, we're growing. We're going to be, do you know what? We're not just going to be at FP1 for Silverstone this year, Brian. By then, this will have absolutely taken off. We'll be invited. We'll be just there covering it as journalists.
Hey, we're big enough where teams now actually respond to us occasionally.
Yes, yeah, so you're talking about...
So
Brian's referring there to the fact that we really tried to go after Logan Sargeant, you know, playing the American podcast game, and Brian, bless him, he is the king of spamming people with emails to try to make enough noise that people respond. I was like, you're not going to get anything back. But we did. We got a really nice email back from Williams, or maybe some intern in the Williams media department, which kind of let us down very gently. Logan is apparently very stacked with his schedule at the moment, but they'll keep us in mind. But mind we're being kept in.
I had to invent that email. Like, it's not listed. I had to figure out what their media email was. So
king of doing that. You were an absolute king of doing that.
That's how we got Nate Saunders the first time. So
I know you did. So yeah, nice one. So throwing names in of people we've tried to get. Well, somebody we did get, which will be coming up next. I guess if you carry on listening, it will probably just autoplay after this one if we work out how to do it properly. But yeah, we're going to do flashback to when we met Valtteri. So I listened to the whole thing again, Brian, just while I was kind of editing it to kind of put it together, and still makes me smile with a ridiculous grin for a man of my age that I just get reduced to being a giddy little kid again. Going, we spoke to Valtteri Bottas. We did. And that will be what will be coming up next. So, Brian, do what you do best and take us out, and then just hang around and let the next one play.
Sounds great. Everyone, thanks so much for joining. We can't wait to speak to you next week. More car livery launches, more opportunities to get closer to testing. I'm sure the news will still be at 11. What?
Ferrari. I forgot Ferrari would be out by the time we speak next time. Have you seen the race suits?
The
yellow in it,
the
red
amazing.
And... Oh.
The races we will have by the time we speak again: Aston Martin, Ferrari, Mercedes, and McLaren on the same day, and then Red Bull the day after. And there's still a lot of news circulating, a lot of car liveries coming. We can't wait to talk to you in 1 week's time. The season is around the corner. Everyone have a great week.